Take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 this evening. And one brief announcement, if during VBS you loaned us a glass vessel of some kind, a pitcher or a bowl or something like that, there's still quite a few on the back cart back there. So if any of them are yours, please take them. We don't want them. Just joking. But we were thankful that you let us use them, but we do need them out of there so we can get that cart put away and everything get put away in the back kitchen. So if there's still something of yours back there, please claim it and take it home with you tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're finishing up a little series we've had, That It's Okay. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at It's Okay to Say Amen. Last week, we looked at It's Okay to Let Your Light Shine. Amen. We need to let our light shine. An interesting quote by D.L. Moody that I ran across today is that there are those that go about saying that they're letting their light shine. Well, something interesting, usually those that are doing that usually aren't. He said lighthouses don't have cannons to announce their presence. They just simply stand there and shine. And so if we say, well, I'm letting my light shine, Pastor, probably you're not. But if we can see your light, amen, that's important, to see your lifestyle, to see the light of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tonight, we're going to look at verses 19 through 20. And tonight's message is it's okay to let go. It's okay to let go. We're going to be looking at letting go tonight. I'm not talking about in the fleshly sense, to let everything just go and do whatever you want, but in the spiritual sense. And our passage tonight tells us that there is something that needs to be let go of in our life in order that we may be clean vessels for the Lord's use. D.L. Moody said this, God doesn't seek for golden vessels and doesn't ask for silver ones, but he must have clean ones. So tonight, if we could stand out of respect for the reading of God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 19 through 21 tonight. Verses 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So tonight we're going to be looking at letting go of some things in our heart that are making us not be a clean vessel before the Lord. He wants us to be clean tonight, so ask a question. Are you willing to let go tonight? So we'll let go of what? We're going to go over some of those things. But are we going to make a decision right here and now at the beginning of the message? Pastor, whatever God brings out in my heart, I'm going to let it go at the invitation time so that I can be clean to be used of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you will bless the message tonight. Lord, I cannot convict of sin. Lord, I don't know what is in the hearts of people here tonight. But Lord, I do know what your word says, that we need to let go of some things in our heart if we are retaining them. And Lord, we want to be meet for your use. We want to be holy. We want to be ready. We want to be clean vessels. And Lord, I pray that if any of us tonight and there is something lurking that makes us unclean, makes us unfit for your use, that your Holy Spirit, O Holy Spirit, convict us of it. Show it to us. O Lord, that we be ready to confess it and forsake it. And tonight I pray that we would realize it's okay to let go of things in our heart, to not hang on to them and keep them because we think that's what we ought to do. Oh, Lord, you want to relieve us of those things. I pray that you would guide and direct us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. It's okay to let go. There are things that we hang on to as human beings. The old nature likes to retain things. The new man that Christ gives us is not a collector of earthly things, is not a collector of things in this life, not a collector of sinful things, but is a collector of eternal things. We see the fruits of the Spirit, the new man, the new spiritual man that we get at salvation, that we must put on daily and put off the old man. The new man collects that which is good. Now the old man, he collects things that are not good. He wants to retain and keep things in his life that are sin before the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are things that can make us unfit for the master's use. God wants to use you tonight. Doesn't matter who you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're 7 or 99. It doesn't matter. God wants to use you. If you're saved in here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants you to be a vessel. You already are, but whether we want to be used of God is another issue. And whether we're willing to let go tonight. Do we want to be used tonight? Yes, nobody does. Amen? We want to be used. Amen? I think we all do. Yes, Pastor, this is a trick question. No. But we're getting where the rubber meets the road tonight. This is a very practical message. And tonight, this is where we all need to be. Are we willing to let things go? So number one tonight, what do we need to let go of? Now remember what the quote of D.L. Moody is, a wonderful quote. God doesn't seek for golden vessels and doesn't ask for silver ones, but he must have what? Clean ones. What do we see here in the passage? Verse number 21 at the end. And meat for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. You know, when you clean the dishes, that you set it apart somewhere where the clean dishes go. Where do the clean dishes go? They go in the cupboard, usually, right? They're supposed to, anyway. You know, sometimes they say in the dishwasher, but you have a dishwasher, they go in there, they get clean, then they go back in the cupboard. The dirty dishes go in the cupboard, too. Oh, Pastor, they don't. They go in the sink, or they go in the dishwasher, so that they may be sanctified and cleansed to be meet for use later. Okay? I think we all can follow that. The same way, we live in a world and we're sinful. There's things that we do that make us dirty. And that we need to be cleansed, sanctified, and set back apart, away from the world, away from sin, away from our own lust, so that we may be used of God. So tonight, what do we need to let go of? Number one, we need to let go of our bitterness. Bitterness and a lack of forgiveness is the number one thing that defeats a Christian. Number one thing that defeats a Christian. Another quote of D.L. Moody. I was reading all kinds of quotes from D.L. Moody today. Really good ones. I wish I could use them all. But another one, he said, I believe that the biggest reason for unanswered prayer in a Christian's life is a lack of forgiveness. And that if we are not willing to forgive other people, we will not have our prayers heard. The Bible's very clear. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. We're not going to be used of God if we're bitter about something. We talked the other week about anger, and that bitterness comes from anger. We all have a response to when we are hurt. You know, some people are more quiet when they get hurt. If, you know, they smack their thumb, they're just kind of quiet. Some people, they're, you know, they're jumping around and running around. You know, some people, I watched one guy, he hurt himself. He started running around and running around and running around. I'm like, what's the matter? I hurt myself. He's just running around. That's how he responded. We all respond a little bit differently. Now, I'm talking about a personal hurt, a hurt upon our heart, a hurt upon someone has wounded us, whether it be a stranger or a friend or a family member. Whenever there's a hurt or offense in our life, we have a choice to make. Every single person, you have a choice to make. And the choice is within yourself to make this. To either become bitter. And you thought I was going to say, or become better. No. Or to let it go. To let it go. But what they did to me. Well, we're going to look at some things. A natural human response is to become bitter, to hang on to it. Remember, I said the old man likes to gather things that are bad. Likes to gather things. Well, they deserve what they get. Or they deserve to have vengeance. What they did was so bad. They hurt me so bad. They did this to me. They betrayed me. They did all of this. And we become angry at that. That's a human response. We become angry about it. And then we keep being angry at it. And we seethe at it. And then we become bitter about it. And you know where bitterness leads? It leads to hatred. And hatred leads, many times, to violence. You know, there's a lot of violence in the world today. I don't know if you heard about the shooting in Jacksonville just today in the mall. You know what that was over? A video game. So sad that someone would take the life of other people over a video game. And money, of course, but No, the Bible's true. The love of money is the root of all evil, right? It's true. Had a bank robbery here in Killeen just yesterday. Having more and more often. What is the response that we have? We can either become bitter or let it go. It's a natural human response. But it's not the response that God wants us to have as His children. He wants us to let it go. And forgiveness is that's exactly what it is letting it go. Taking the person off the hook, that's the cliche term that we use. We let them off the hook, we let them go. Because when we have bitterness against someone, we think that we're hurting them. We think that we're getting back at them. We have them in this little cage, but you don't. You're the one that's put yourself inside the cage. You're not doing anything to them. All you're doing is hurting yourself. You're hurting your relationship with God. You're hurting your relationship with everyone else around you. Now, we become bitter about many things. Some people get bitter over very petty things. They looked at me wrong. And I didn't like it. They didn't say hi to me. So I don't like them anymore. Do people really get bitter about that? Oh, yes. You know what? People get bitter over what color the carpet is at church. You know what? They suggested another color and the church didn't go that color. Well, they've been bitter. They're bitter about it for years. They're bitter that they didn't get asked to teach a Sunday school class. Or they didn't get selected to be a nursery that week when they wanted to be. You know, people get bitter about all kinds of things. Remember we talked about anger, that many times it's supposed injury. Or perhaps sometimes, ever had one of those times when you walk up to somebody and you're talking to them and you just said something wrong. And as soon as you said it, you knew it was wrong. And you know, it just didn't come out right. And the other person's offended. You didn't mean it that way, but it just is too late. Right? Some people get bitter over that. I said, well, they can't believe they said that to me. Even though you say you're sorry, well, I'm sorry. They just kind of came out wrong. It's not what I meant. Well, I'm going to mark them. That's bitterness, by the way. The Bible says to mark people that cause divisions, but it doesn't say marking your brothers and sisters in Christ and keeping track of the offenses they've had against you. It doesn't say that. It says to forgive one another. It says to edify one another. You can't edify someone and build someone up when you have a laundry list of things you remember they did to you over the last 10 years. You can't build someone up when you're keeping all track of them and say, well, I want to see them do right. No, you're bitter against them. Well, I can't help it, Pastor. I just have one of those memories. I just keep things. If you hold a grudge, that's bitterness. That's bitterness. And you need to let it go. Now, others are more serious than petty things. Some people are bitter about someone being angry at them. They've been hurt. Sometimes it's over envy. That you see someone else's life and what they have, and you want that too. You are envious of them. That they have the car, or that they have the good relationship, or that you're envious of someone. Maybe you were hoping that this boy or this girl was going to be the one, and then someone else got him. Oh! That should have been me. Oh, so many people get bitter over that. At college, that would happen. The girls were worse about this. But guys do it too. Like, and I don't like that person. They stole that person away from me. Let it go. There's somebody else for you. Amen? There's someone else out there. Jealousy. Someone else gets something. And like, well, why did you get it and I didn't? Jealousy. Well, why did they get that position in the church and I didn't? Envy and jealousy go hand in hand. Envy and jealousy are a little different. But jealousy, many times, envy is usually over something that you should not have that is not yours. Jealousy is over something good that someone else got and you didn't. Jealousy over, well, pastor asked them to do this special job. Why didn't they ask me? I have more experience. Those are things that happen in church. What about things that happen at home? In that someone, little Johnny, gets a privilege because they did right, but little Susie didn't get one. Ah! Why didn't I get one? You know, bitterness can be between siblings. Parents, we got to be careful that we don't encourage bitterness between our siblings, between our children. Jealousy, maybe hurts. Maybe someone's hurt you, at work, a friend. Usually we get bitter about things about being hurt by people that are very close to us that we trust. And sometimes it's through abusive situations. Real and genuine hurts, not diminishing them. But no matter how severe your hurt is, you have to let it go. Many of you have maybe heard of Corrie Ten Boom. Have you heard of her? Corrie Ten Boom, you've heard of her. Her and her sister were prisoners in a Nazi concentration camp. They were Jews. And they helped Jews. They weren't Jews, but they helped Jews. And they were put in concentration camps for hiding Jews. And they were put through so much, and her older sister Betsy died in the concentration camp. And she never forgot that. And she was let go. Inexplicably, just one day, she was let go to let out the gate, and she walked to Switzerland and came over to the United States eventually. But she was set free. And she just praised God. There she was, a Christian. But something that she couldn't get in her mind is that the guard that was in their camp, she just couldn't let that go. There was some part of it she just couldn't let it go. And she just thought about that man, and she had thought about that guard. He was so vile and he was so nasty, and she blamed him for her sister's death. Well, when she was at a speaking engagement in the United States 20 years later, is that she saw a man walking up to her, and for a moment she thought she recognized him, but then it all in horror came over. It was his guard. Came up to her and very carefully put out his hand and said, "Do you remember me?" She stiffened up and stepped back and said, "Yes, I remember you. My sister died because of you." Tears filled his eyes. "As I did many terrible things, but Jesus Christ has saved me. As I want to ask you for forgiveness." And she said, "At that moment, I had a choice to make." And she chose to let it go and forgive. And that's a very big hurt. Some would say unforgivable. But she forgave and let it go. And she said such a weight was lifted off of her heart and her life that she never knew was there. Is there something in your life, a hurt that someone has caused again? "Well, it's unforgivable, Pastor. I can't forgive it." You're not meet for the Master's use if you have bitterness in your heart. It doesn't matter how many years ago it was, even before you were saved. Is there something that you're not willing to forgive? You're not willing to let go. You're not willing to let Jesus take from you. We have the command of Scripture about bitterness. Turn to James chapter 3 and verse 14. And we have this idea that we're going to lose something, that we're going to give up something if we let go of bitterness. You're going to gain something. You're going to gain peace in your heart. You're going to gain joy. Bitter people are not joyful people, are they? They're not joyful. They're miserable people. They're critical people. All they can see is the bad in everything. All they can see is the bad in people, the bad in situations, the negative things. The person could have 10 good qualities and 2 bad ones. All they'll pick out the 2 bad ones. What's wrong with them? That's bitterness. You're a bitter person, critical person. Nothing, and you know what? Those people are miserable. You know, they sit all day long and they all think about how terrible their life is, how terrible everything is going. How terrible everything is going at church. How terrible everything's going at home. Everything's terrible. Everything's going wrong. You know, if you put a glass of water, the glass is half empty instead of half full. I mean, all of us have met people like that. They're bitter about something. Some people who have been embittered in their life, they've been embittered against God. How can you let this happen to me? How'd you let this happen to our family? Why did grandma have to die? Why did mom have to leave? Why did all of this? Why? God, why did you let this happen? Remember all the bad things in this life, death, disease, sin, have nothing to do with God. That's a result of man's sin. Don't blame God for someone dying. It's because of sin that they died. Don't blame God for disease and cancer. It's because of sin that there are those things. God did not create us that way. God made everything and it was very good. There was no death, no disease, no crime, no violence, no abuse. Is it because of man's sin that these things happen? Don't blame God for what mankind has done. But God can heal those things. God doesn't cause those things. We need to let go of it. James chapter 3, into verse number 14. James chapter 3, verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. So what does that mean, lie not against the truth? You know what bitter people do? They say, oh, I'm right with God. I'm okay. I'm just going to hang on to this little thing. And it's not any of God's business, nobody else's business. It's my personal business. It's in the corner of my heart, but it won't affect me. God says you lie against the truth. God says you lie against the truth. The Bible says you're not meat for the master's use because there's sin there. Bitterness is a sin. It's not just an inconvenience or a bad thing. It's sin because it's a lack of forgiveness. We need to forgive other people as Christ has forgiven us. No matter how bad the thing that they have done, because you're not doing anything to them. You're imprisoning yourself and hurting yourself. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. As a pastor, you don't know what they did to me. I don't, but Jesus said he didn't put a limit on forgiveness. He didn't put a limit on there. He said we need to forgive. And remember, he will take care of all things. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness doesn't affect just you. It affects everybody else around you. It affects your relationship with God. It affects your spouse. It affects your kids. It affects your friends. It affects strangers. You know how it affects strangers? If you're bitter, you're not going to be witnessing. If you're bitter, you're not going to be leading people to Christ. Because God can't use you because you're not a vessel meet for his use. You're not clean. I think we all want to be clean here tonight. Are we willing to forgive? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 31. Ephesians 4, 31, another command concerning bitterness. God's word's very clear. And God knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? Amen? He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he needs for us to do. Ephesians 4, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and be kind one to another. Pastor, I could never be kind to that person. Tender-hearted, what forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God's forgiven your sin. God's forgiven all that you've done against him. And we have done a lot more against God than anybody has ever done to us. God forgave us, though. We need to forgive other people, no matter how deep the hurt may be. But how do I let go of it, Pastor? How do I let go? You know, some people, they come down to the altar and they wrestle with it and they wrestle with it and they wrestle with it. Because I don't know how to give it over. And they wrestle with it, and they really what they're doing is they're hanging on to it. It's simple. I forgive. Pastor, it's not that simple. Actually, it is. We overcomplicate things. We need to say, Lord, forgive me for this bitterness. I've let it go. I forgive them. Also, it helps to tell the other person that you forgave them. That really helps. Even though they haven't asked for it, say, I forgive you. And then that's it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's what you do. Cast it upon him. What is Matthew chapter 11? Turn over to Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30. Jesus is giving a plea to those who are weary and heavy laden, and people who are bitter, they're heavy laden. heavy laden with sin, heavy laden with bitterness and agony and strife. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Give it to Jesus and he'll take it away. Pastor, I can't do that. No, you won't do that. You can. And trust me, you'll be so glad when you have. Cast it upon him. Let it go. We hang on to things so tightly because we fear people are going to forget, that we're going to forget what that person did. You know what? You're never going to forget what that person did if you keep hanging on to it. But why in the world would you want to remember? Why would you want to remember that? Why do you want to relive pain again and again and again? Let it go and let Jesus heal you. And he will. Let it go. Let go of your bitterness. That's number one. Number two, let go of your opinions. You know what? We have opinions about everything. We have opinions about things, and especially if you're married, you find out that sometimes people have differing opinions. Amen? You have an opinion about a thing. Your wife has another opinion about it. And that men have a certain definition of what is neat and orderly and clean. Women many times have a different opinion about that. Not that we think, in our opinion sometimes, when I'm talking about opinions, that what we think is more important than what someone else thinks. Well, I am right. And this goes hand in hand in pride. I'm going to get to that in a minute. This can cause some problems at home, at church, at work. When people think, well, my opinion is chief of all opinions. This is what I need to do. This is my opinion. You know, it'll interfere. It'll cause problems at home, at church, at work. But most importantly, it's going to cause a problem with your relationship with God. Because if we're lifted up with pride in ourselves in our own way, we're going to be at odds with God. Because we have to come to an understanding. Our opinion doesn't matter. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah 9, 23. We need to submit ourselves to God. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 23. Our wisdom, our knowledge, all that we know, our opinion doesn't really matter. We need to go to the wisdom of God. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Glory means to make chief of all, to boast upon. Look at all the wisdom I have. I just can't wait for pastor to ask me a question, because I know everything. I can't wait. And you know what? In a home, that causes a lot of problems. And guys, we can have more trouble with this. But sometimes ladies have trouble with this. In that, well, I know that so-and-so in the family did it this way, but I think it needs to be done this way, and they need to fix it and do it my way. That can cause problems. They did not arrange the towels on the rack correctly. They need to do it my way. They need to put the toilet paper on the roll my way. Do people fight over these things? Oh, yes. And they can get some pretty heated arguments. But more importantly, well, I think that my direction's more important than even God's way. That's my opinion. Time and time again, over the years, people have come to my office and said, Pastor, what do you think about this? Well, and I pull out the Bible and I tell them what the Bible says. Not every time, but invariably, some of them say, well, Pastor, I had a different thought about that. This is what I believe. And I feel like, then why did you come in and ask him what the Bible says? I just told you. Well, I believe the Bible says this. And they go through a series of verses taken out of context, like, well, you've got to go over here, and the Bible says this. Well, no, that doesn't say that. This is really what I believe it says. And invariably, it's to excuse their sin. Something that they think they ought to be able to do. You know what they've done? They have elevated their opinion above what God's Word says. And if you go on Google long enough, you'll find somebody that agrees with your opinion. That has the same opinion, that twists God's Word the right way, that makes you exempt from what God says in His Word somehow. Unfortunately, that's not true. It doesn't make you exempt. It just makes you in sin against God. And there are so many Christians that they walk through their day, they have an interpretation of the Bible that is incorrect, and they think that they have the opinion that is right, and that they're doing right, and that they're right with God, and that they're going to church, and they're doing everything right, and they wonder why they have no joy, they wonder why they have no fruit, they wonder why their life is falling apart, they wonder why their family's falling apart, because they're sinning! Because they've elevated their opinion above God's Word. You need to let your opinion go and do what God says. And don't excuse your sin because of your opinion. I don't think God's Word says that. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God says. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God thinks. How do we know the mind of God? Study His Word. We can know the mind of God. It's not some mysterious thing. We can know what He wants for us to do. We need to let go of our will. We are to submit ourselves to God. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 7. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. And when we elevate our opinion above God, you know what that is? That's rebellion. That's exactly what Saul did. Saul decided, well, yes, God said to go and wipe them all out, to kill the king, to kill everything and take all of it. But you know what? I'm going to spare King Agag. I'm going to spare him. And I'm going to spare some of the treasures, and I'm going to spare some of the oxen and the sheep. And I'm going to give it to God, though, because God needs these. We need to keep these for God's house. And then Samuel came down, and by the way, this whole thing was a test, because Saul had already done something wrong, and this was the last straw. It was a test to see if he was going to obey or elevate his opinion, because he was king, if he was going to elevate himself again above God and His Word. And then you know what happens? He doesn't obey. Then what does Saul do? I have fulfilled the commandment of the Lord. I have done all. He has the audacity to say this. And you're listening to him like, how does he do that? I have done all that God has commanded me. You know what I have in my mind's eye when I read this? I see Samuel doing this. Then why do I hear the bleating of sheep and the lowing of oxen in my ears? Why do I hear that? I can just imagine him doing that. And why do I hear sheep and oxen that are supposed to be dead? Dead oxen and sheep don't make noises. Then what did Saul say? Oh, the people made me do it. The people, oh, that sounds like Adam. God, it was your fault because you gave me a woman. She made me do it. Whenever we sin, we try to shift the blame, right? But you know what? Saul lost the kingdom because of his disobedience, because he elevated his opinion above God's Word. He obeyed his way. No, we need to obey God's way. We need to let go of our opinion. Third, we need to let go. You need to let go of your will. This goes hand in hand with our opinions. Our direction, our wants. Whose will are you following tonight? Good question. Whose will are you following? Are you following God's will? Oh, Pastor, I'm following God's will. I'm in church. You can be here, sitting here in the pew, and be out of God's will. Just because you came to church doesn't mean you're walking in God's will. Just because you come to church every week doesn't mean you're walking in God's will. You might be doing something God doesn't want you to do. Maybe God wants you halfway across the world somewhere instead of sitting here. Maybe God wants you preaching somewhere or teaching somewhere. I believe God wants everybody to be here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. I believe that. Amen. No, I'm just joking. That was a joke. Right? Don't, pastor said, no. I think Caleb and Sarah need to get married and just come back here. That's God's will for them to come back. That's what I believe. I believe it's God's will for Seth and Debbie to come right down here. That's what it's God's will for everyone to come right back down here. Amen, Brother Hammonds. We just need to have them come. No, that's the will of the Lord, according to Pastor Spurbeck. That's not God's will. I don't know what God's will is for their life. I'm praying that it's to come back here, maybe. I mean, but if God has them somewhere else, then I want them to do God's will. Amen. That should be the desire of everyone. That's right, Pastor. You know, many times we have the desire for other people. Oh, yes, they need to follow God's will. They need to follow God's will. What about you? Oh, Pat, you know, many times we invest in seeing other people do God's will, but we're not doing it ourselves. Are you doing God's will tonight, or are you doing yours? Or better yet, another question, are you doing God's will your way? That's still your will, by the way. That's not God's will. We do that. We will do God's will our way, on our timetable, on our terms, and in our way. Once again, that's where our opinion comes in. This is the way I think we need to do it. Remember what I talked about this morning. If Noah had built the ark the way he wanted to, we would not be here today. He built the way God told him to. Whose will are you following? Jesus taught us what we're to do. And also, we see in Matthew chapter 6, he taught us how we're to pray. The Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 10. Jesus taught us that this is what we ought to pray for. Many times when we're finding the will of God, is that, Lord, what do I pray for? Well, first of all, pray that you will do the will of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know what is being said there? Lord, I want to, everything in heaven is at your command. Every angel, every cherubim, every seraphim, every creature in heaven is at your command. Instantaneous obedience, O Lord, that the obedience on earth would be the same. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? As all your will in heaven is obeyed, oh, that on earth, starting with me, that I would do thy will. Wasn't that the prayer of Jesus? Not my will, but thine. Praying to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus gave us that example. Not my will, but thine. Well, I don't know if I feel like it. Now, if emotions went into it, do you think that Jesus, the Creator, the God of heaven, that knew no sin, was pure and holy, would want to come to a sin-cursed, filthy world like ours? If we had a choice, we'd say, no way, we're staying in heaven. But Jesus came at the will of his Father and gave his life willingly and lived among dirty, rotten, sinful people whom he loved. You ever wonder that some of the responses people gave him, you know, and we know who he is, and they did not realize who he was, the responses people gave him, you was wondering, hey, you're lucky a lightning bolt from heaven just burned you right there. You know who you're talking to. No, they didn't. They were ignorant. They were blind. They were lost. So don't get offended when people don't understand what you're trying to do when you're trying to witness to them. Don't get all mad. Well, how dare they say that to me? The same way they didn't recognize Jesus. They don't recognize who you're working for either. Let go of your will. What does he want us to do? D.L. Moody said this. It was ascribed to him when he was in a private conversation with someone. He didn't say this in his sermon, I do not believe, but he had this in a private conversation with someone. He said, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him. Giving over our will. If we're consecrated and sanctified, a vessel of meat for the Master's use, our will doesn't follow into the whole matter. What we do every day, what we want to do, what we want to see happen, doesn't enter into the picture. We let God tell us, and we do his will. The only way we can see God work is if we let go of our will and start doing God's will. And that brings us to number four tonight. We need to let go of our pride. This is the great problem with all people. Our pride gets in the way of our walk with God. It gets in the way of our relationships. It makes people angry and offensive. You know what? Whenever someone gets angry, you know why? You hurt their pride. They've been hurt and they respond in anger. That's pride. Only by pride cometh contention, the Bible says. There is nothing good about pride. Not one thing. Not one thing good about pride. Not one good thing about anger. Not one good thing about bitterness. And these are things that defile a person. These are things that defile the vessel. And Jesus wants us to be clean. He wants to cleanse our life. And he said, well, I am the best Christian ever. You're actually the worst because you're full of pride. Paul was very careful about what he said about what he knew. You know why? Because he had the same temptation that we all have to be proud. Paul, of all the people in the Bible, was perhaps the most highly educated. More than likely the most highly educated besides maybe Luke in the whole New Testament. He was a Pharisee, but not only a Pharisee, he was the best of the best, top notch. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and by tradition and by some people's studies that he was slated to take his place as a doctor, as the master teacher. He was at the top of the heap. He was the A-plus student. He did everything right. The best of the best. You know what he said? If I had any reason to glory, I more. Because he was an Israelite. Be proud of that. He could be proud of his education. He could be proud of his upbringing. He could be proud of all that he did. He could be proud of his actions. He said, but I count all those things but dung. Doesn't matter who I am, because it all changed one day on the road to Damascus when Jesus came to me, came to Paul. It all changed that day. Everything, all that he knew didn't matter. You know what? When we come face to face with Jesus, all that we are, all that we know, all of our abilities don't matter. When we come face to face with our Creator. That's the problem with some Christians. They've never come face to face with Jesus. I prayed a little prayer one time, but they've never come face to face with Jesus and confronted their sin and asked true forgiveness for it. Will you let it go? Look at Proverbs 28:25 tonight. Proverbs 28:25. Proverbs 28:25 tonight. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Because pride, we put our trust in self. But humbleness, we put our faith in the Lord. Our trust in the Lord. One more verse, I'm done tonight. Proverbs 11:2. You don't need to turn there, I'll read it. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Well, why does shame come when we're proud? What do you mean when pride comes, then comes shame? Because pride always leads to sin. And sin brings shame. Sin brings death, doesn't it? Brings shame. And pride always, 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 always leads to sin. Because we're saying, God, I don't need you. God, I can do it and I don't care. God, I need to deserve this. And we have given in to the devil and we do it and we sin. Pride always leads to sin. Question tonight, do you want to be right with God? Is that really the desire of your heart? No, we can come in Sunday morning. You can come for Sunday school. We can be extra special Christians. Come for Sunday school. Be here for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night soul winning, sing in the choir, work in the nursery, work in a Sunday school class, teach a Sunday school class, teach children's church, teach the Wednesday night program, work on the bus, do all of these things and still be not right with God. We think doing makes us right with God. It doesn't. Doing doesn't make us right. Doing's a good thing if you're right with God. Because you'll notice something. Maybe some of us have scratched our head. We're doing all these things. We're doing all these things, but nothing's working. Nothing's happening. There's no blessing. There's no one getting saved. There's no joy. There's nothing. It's just empty. Because you're doing it not right with God. You're saying, Lord, I'm ready to be used. My vessel is ready. Now up here, I have a glass right here. And you know what? I always inspect my glasses before I drink out of them, because I think all of us do that kind of naturally. We expect water to be in there, and you know, sometimes we find a floaty in there of something that maybe it's an old piece of food, or maybe it's a bug that decided to fly in there. You know, I hope you check your water before you drink it, right? And we think that, hey, we're clean. Lord, everything's all cleaned out, but there is something in there. Maybe it's not very big. You know what? It doesn't have to be very big to give you a disease. It can be something you can't even see. That is not clean. And we come to God and say, all right, I have my vessel. I'm all ready. I'm ready to be used. And we come, but God says it's not clean. Oh, yes, it is. It's clean. God says, no. I'm not going to fill it. Was him that was saying, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Right? You won't fill it if it's not clean. Is your vessel clean? I think it is. Better check. Make sure. Ask the Holy Spirit, is the vessel clean? And he'll let you know if you're not. He's letting you know right now. If you're saved in here tonight, the Holy Spirit is letting you know right now if something is not right. As well, how do you know? I asked him to. Every preacher does that. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict where it is needed. But we have a decision to make. Are we clean? The Holy Spirit says, no, you're not. And you have a decision to either respond and get right with God, so that you may be a vessel meet for the Master's use, holy, sanctified, separated unto him. Or you can say, I'm fine the way I am. And for some reason, you believe the lie of the devil that you can be used of God and still have sin in your life, and it's not true. Because God's word, we just read it, it's not true. It's okay to let things go. It's okay to let bitterness go. It's okay to let your anger go, to let go of your will, to let go of your pride, to let go of your opinions. It's okay. You need to tonight. Well, how do I let all these things go? You let them go right here. Right here. This right here is called an altar. What is an altar for? It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of getting right. You know where Israel got right with God? At the altar. Now, we don't have the blood of lambs and of bullocks and burnt offerings, but it is still a place where people get right. It's a place where people get saved. It's a place where Christians get right. It's a place where Christians let it go. So I give it over to you, dear Lord. That's what the altar's for. If he's convicting you of sin in your life, you need to use it tonight. Well, I'll just do it in my seat. Was Israel commanded, oh, you can just get right with God at home. You don't need to come to the tabernacle. You don't need to come to the temple. You don't need to come to the altar. You can just do it at home. Just tell God you're sorry. Coming to the altar, taking the effort. You know why God made them come? Because it takes an effort to come to God. And coming to the altar takes an effort of laying things aside, and it shows that you're serious. That's what the altar is for. So tonight, if there's an area that's not clean, let God take care of it. You know, many times we're willing to let everything go except our pride, and that's why we don't come. Let everything else go, but someone's going to see me. Praise God if someone sees you. Amen. You're going to encourage somebody. They're moving. You know what? Different ones of us in here, people look up to you. At different people in the church, depending on your age. If you're an older person, probably young people look up to you. And it takes one person to be bold enough to step forward, and many others will come. To help you, help people. You encourage people. Part of edification. Do you want to be right with God? Do you want to be made a clean vessel for the Lord's use? Then let him make you clean by letting go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight asking for thy power tonight. We have called upon you. We have asked you. We have pleaded with thee to lead and to guide us into all truth. And Lord, we have seen thy glorious truth in thy word tonight. But Lord, it is up to us now to make a decision about your word and about your truth. And Lord, I pray that tonight the Holy Spirit would be working. And Lord, we have called upon you and we have called upon him to work in hearts. And we pray that tonight the prayer would be answered. For Lord, your people need to be right with you. Our church needs to be right with you so that we may be used. Vessels meet for your use. You want to use us. I pray that we hold up a clean cup ready to be filled by yourself. Oh Lord, we can't be full of you if we're full of ourselves, full of sin. I pray that we let things go tonight. We give them to you. And Lord, you promise to take them and to forgive them. I pray that you would be with us tonight. Be with this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.